ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम एक्चुअली द फैक्ट इज नॉलेज इज द ओनली मीन्स फॉर मोक्षः मोक्षः इज द अल्टीमेट absolute choiceless end and for which the means to means is knowledge knowledge is the only means why we say knowledge is the only means because knowledge and the moksha the means and the end are identical means and the end are identical here means itself is an end Why? Because the end, the moksha, which is said to be the end, actually is not something to be attained. Something which is already something when you have to attain something which is not there already, then the attainment is real attainment. But here, moksha is not attainment of moksha is not in terms of even in terms of knowledge, because it's already there. So attaining something, gaining something which is already there, accomplishing the already accomplished means only in terms of knowledge, knowing what that you already have, already it is. Therefore, that is why you say knowledge is the only means for moksha. Moksha, the freedom from limitations, which implies limitlessness, being limitless, and that being limitless implies being happy, and being happy means being full. Now the fullness and limitlessness and happiness, which is there as the very nature of the reality, which is the self of everything. Reality is the self of all the beings. Reality is the only self and the self of all the beings. Reality and the self are not, so that's why we say reality is available for recognition as only as the self, as the subject of knowledge, as the knower. Never as an object of knowledge. We say that. Therefore, reality and this limitlessness, happiness are not two different things. Therefore, discovering, knowing, knowledge, reality itself is what? Knowing the self itself is knowing what moksha is all about. Not two different things. Therefore, knowledge which is said to be the means to accomplish the end, being identical with the end, knowledge of reality is knowledge of what moksha is. Knowledge of what moksha is what? Attaining moksha in terms of knowledge. Therefore, we say here, no, it is not something like other attainments. Therefore, knowledge is the only means for moksha, we say. And there are some people who say, knowledge is not the only means. One has to do karma also. Understand? For moksha, you need both performance of karma and knowledge for moksha. If people say we need karma and knowledge for moksha, it is called jnana karma samuchayaha, synthesis of karma and knowledge. Action and knowledge. There are some people who argue, why only knowledge? We have to say, karma also is a means of knowledge. Knowledge alone is not enough for moksha. So karma and jnanam together, become the means for accomplishing the end. If karma is karma has to be combined with knowledge for moksha as a means. Means it's called what? Jnana karma samuchayaha. Such people, synthesis of karma and knowledge as means for moksha. So people, those who want to combine karma along with moksha, along with jnanam for moksha as a means, they're said to be jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. People, there are some people who argue like that. That is the problem here. Okay? So they will say, why? Because we have to do karma, no? there Krishna has to make it very clear. If one has to definitely do karma, then karma also this means for moksha. For moksha, jnanam itself is moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge and moksha, even though for want of word we say knowledge is the means, moksha is an end. Okay? Like that, even though we say, in fact, knowledge and moksha are identical. Knowledge itself is the only means for moksha. Okay? But what about karma? What do you say we had to do karma? That karma here is what now? That's why he said, without performing karma, without doing any karma, without doing one's duties, it is impossible for one to live this life. Isn't it? One has to do the karma. Do everything one has to do. It does not mean karma is the means for moksha. No. Understand? Therefore, he wanted to make it very clear. But what does it mean then? Karma has to be performed with the proper attitude which converts the karma into yoga, means it becomes preparatory. It prepares the karma performed. Karma has to be performed anyway. Whether you want moksha or you don't want moksha, doesn't matter. To live the life, one has to do karma. If the karma which you do to live this life, to make this life a meaningful one, to make it contribute for mental preparedness for knowledge, then you have to have proper attitudes to understand, some understanding, which converts the karma into yoga. Then we can call it karma yoga. You never do karma yoga, you do only karma. But the attitude with which you perform converts the karma into yoga. So the karma yoga helps gain the knowledge. How? In terms of preparing the mind. In preparing the mind for knowledge, that is why it's called yoga. Karma performed, if it paves way for preparing the mind for knowledge, then it is called yoga, karma yoga, isn't it? Therefore, karma yoga, you can say, karma yoga can be said to be the indirect means for moksha. Direct means is what? Only jnanam, not the karma. Therefore, the synthesis of karma and knowledge cannot be said to be the means for moksha. Knowledge is the only means for moksha. That has been made very clear, isn't it? That is why this whole chapter begins here. And then here, we will understand all about karma and karma yoga. See, whatever we have understood in the second chapter is further elaborated, discussed here. All the queries we would have picked up in second chapter will be slowly resolving. In fact, all the 16 following 16 chapters, I mean 14 chapters, 14 chapters which follow here after third chapter onwards, 3rd to 17th, all of them are elaborate, in fact, commentary upon what you have understood in second chapter. Everything will become very clear. Again, because second chapter is an epitome of the entire Gita. And again, the summing up of the whole Gita is given in the 18th chapter. Look at this. By the time we finish, everything will be thorough. It's okay? So we'll see the first verse now. Arjuna uva om shri paramatmane namaha.
Om
shri paramatmane namaha. Karma yogo nama.
Karma yogo nama.
Tritiyodhyayaha.
Tritiyodhyayaha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Jayasi chet karmanaste.
Jayasi
chet karmanaste.
Mata Buddhir Janardana
Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Maam Niyojayasi Keshava So here, that's what, now here Arjuna is asking here the question, what is that? Hey Keshava, O Krishna, Maam Ghore Karmani Kim Niyojayasi? Kim Niyojayasi, why do you appoint me in such a, you know, thing, such an action? What action? No, involving oneself in battle is not a very pleasant action, isn't it? Ghora karma, horrible, terrible, no, the frightening, very fearful thing, the action. Why? Because you made very, Arjuna is asking here, jayasi means superior. To what? To superior than karma. Karmanaha buddhihi jayasi. Buddhihi here means knowledge. If knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the reality is what? Knowledge of the Atma, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the Atma is meant by the word buddhihi here. Hey Janardana, hey Keshava, buddhihi jayasi chet. Chet means if. If knowledge of the reality is superior to performing actions, which produce phalams. If knowledge of the self is superior to performing actions, why knowledge of reality is superior to performing actions? Because knowledge alone liberates. Karma, perform, how much ever karma you perform, the karma produces more and more and more of phalam, results, fruits, whether you like it or not. According to this law, that karma performed definitely is followed by results. No karma ever goes without producing any fruit, isn't it? This law of action. Therefore, definitely karma produces phalam, and therefore karma always binds. Look at this. Mere performance of actions, very important thing to know. What are important things to know? It is impossible for one to remain without doing any action. One has to do some action or the other choicelessly. Because that's the nature of the very matter. The body being material product, mind being material product, sense powers being material product, subtle products and gross product. That is the difference. Subtle or gross, all that is here is what? Everything is material product. Therefore what? Matter is of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. Therefore, the live body also, the live mind, understand now, the live subtle and gross bodies, in fact, okay, all that is of constantly what? We, no, in fact, chase to do actions. You have no choice about doing actions. One has to do some action or the other. That is the nature. So it's impossible for one to remain without doing any actions. Even if you use your will not to do any action, I want to be sitting from morning till evening without moving from one place, okay, because you make up your mind. And I try to be the laziest person. I will not move at all. But only when I feel hungry, I just open my mouth and somebody will come and put the food into my mouth. Even if you think that way, even then, it is impossible for one to be, because our shastras will say, come on, even sitting is an action. I'm not doing any action. We say, sitting always an action. Okay? And if you keep your eyes closed, closing eyes also is an action. Any will involved action is what? Action. Behavior is action. Therefore, it is, whether it's productive or non-productive, that's a different thing. Understand? Contributive or non-contributive or damaging or destructive is a different thing. but it's an action. It's an action. There's a, no human being is ever inactive without doing. We can't say nobody can be without doing anything. Something or the other one has to be doing. That is the very nature of the system here. That is the very nature of the constitution here. Okay? One thing. Even if you think, okay, without doing anything, you try to sit also, non-performance of actions is not going to help you in accomplishing anything. Non-performance of actions, will not help you in terms of preparing the mind for knowledge or in terms of accomplishing the moksha. Definitely not. Or mere performance of actions also will not help you accomplish anything. No, performance of karma will help you accomplish artha kama dharmas along with what? Punya papas. Isn't it? You can accumulate artha and kama, but whether you perform the karma in conformity with dharma or not, in keeping with your commitment to dharma, you will be accumulating punya papas. So what? Definitely performance of karma definitely is followed by results, fruits, and therefore definitely to exhaust the fruits one has to be born again. Therefore karma always definitely binds. See, it's impossible for one to remain without doing any actions. Even if one remains without doing any actions, one cannot accomplish moksha. If a person performs actions, also definitely it binds. Okay? Therefore what? Knowledge alone liberates. Knowledge alone, is the only means for moksha. That is why Krishna, that is why he said to me what? Knowledge is superior, karma is inferior. That is why karma... Buddhihi jayasi. Buddhihi here means what? Knowledge of the reality is jayasi. To what? Karma. Why? Karma, non-performance is not possible. Even if one makes a will to not perform any actions, will not help accomplish moksha. The ultimate end, and performance of actions will definitely bind one. So what? Karma binds, karma cannot liberate, performance of actions will not liberate one, will not free one from bondage, knowledge alone will free one from bondage, therefore knowledge is superior to action. So what Arjuna says, if knowledge is, this is the correct conclusion, okay? If knowledge is the only means for moksha, if knowledge is superior to karma, if karma is going to only bind, then why should I do any karma at all? Understand now? That what karma? Krishna, then why do you ask me? I've been asking you to help me to discover freedom. I've been asking only for freedom, moksha. Shadhi mam tvam prapannam, I asked you second chapter. Listen. Please protect me, the one who has surrendered to you. Aham te shishya, I am your disciple. Why do you ask me? Understand now, ekam nischitya vada, please tell me only one thing which will give me shreyas, the absolute good. Isn't it? Then why do you, ghora karma, this is, going and fighting against my own cousins is a ghora karma. It's a terrible action, understand now, involves bloodshed and killing and all that. Ghore karmani, in this ghora karma, kim maam niyojayasi. Why do you ask me to do karma? Why don't you allow me just to pursue knowledge? And Krishna thought, okay, everybody, that is what people think, when problems are pressurized, give a lot of pressure. You are cornered in the middle from all sides. So many problems come in life. Everybody thinks. It is natural for the mind to have this tendency. You know that? Let me give up everything. Let me go away somewhere. Let me go away somewhere. Let me be alone. Let me be aloof. Let me live a life of seclusion. No? It may be alone, all may by self, give up everything. If you run away from here, I'm fed up with this life, it's enough. When do they think? It's called a smashana vairagyam. Smashana vairagyam means, suppose some condolence in India, condolence happens means, even here, okay, when somebody dies and people will take the body to for cremation. And people take the body to cremation, all the people who are blood related, connected, you know, who are emotionally attached to the person through, you know, association, acquaintances. We want really, nothing happens when somebody unknown person dies. People known to us, friends or relatives or connected people, when somebody dies, and you take them for the cremation. If you have to go with for crematorium also, and go and cremate, and then you talk about the person, see what this life is all about, you know. This person, how much he lived, how he enjoyed, how he earned, how he became popular, how he was well known, and what all he accomplished, how he helped his children, how he helped, how much he did for society, how all the good things. What is he taking today? Look at this. Okay, he is all whole of his upper impulse. It belongs to him. Okay, and all the everywhere, all the country has guest houses. He has 5 houses in France and then 10 houses in Spain, and then in America he has one small country. Okay, and everywhere in India he has, on the bank of Ganga he has lots of properties, and then all over the world he has properties, and yes, my God, number one person. Look at this, at last what, only ashes now. What is he carrying today? When you see somebody is being taken to the crematorium and all that, then everybody, people think about the death and all that, there. Sort of as though you are simply little dispassionate about things. Whenever we see some cremation or death come across, then that particular day you are a little mood, disturbed, and we feel very dispassionate that particular day. And after a few days, slowly forget about that. We will get back to our normal life, and then again we become what? So passionate about things. What about dispassion you had on the first day? No more. It's called smashana vairagyam. Again you become dispassionate. Sorry, again you become passionate person. It is very natural. It's not that easy to be, you know, to overcome passions. So smashana means at least burial ground. So people, when they go there on that particular day, they little mood and then little upset and sad. Like that, you know, people get that. Again, they become passionate. That means one has to become very mature, to be totally dispassionate. So, Shastram does not say dispassion is something one has to, no? A dispassion is something very natural, like how the fruit ripe becomes ripe by itself. Nobody goes and tests the fruit. Come on, you become ripe. Nobody forces the fruit to become ripe, okay? Only thing, the fruit takes its own time to become ripe. Like that, human mind also takes its own time to discover dispassion, to become mature. The dispassionate mind is the mature mind. So, okay, the passionate mind is not wrong mind or bad mind. Please, I tell you, I'm not saying, be very careful. I'm not saying it. This, the passionate minded person is not a wrong person. He's not a bad person. He's not a cruel person. He's an excellent person. Passionate minded also is a very nice person, but he still has to become mature. One can be mature and passionate, if you say, of course he is mature, but how mature he is. The passionate person also can be mature. Definitely is a mature person. So all of us are highly passionate. We are not immature. We are mature. But the Shastram talks about maturity. Okay, the person who is mature enough now to be contemplative. Mature enough to be contemplative. To enjoy, to entertain the contemplative disposition, meditative disposition of the mind. No, which alone will help one to have the ascertained vision of the reality, to have that contemplative disposition of the mind. one has to be adequately mature. We are not totally immature. We are not immature. We are mature, but we are not adequately mature. An adequate maturity required for one to entertain the contemplative disposition. One has to discover dispassion. Understand? And that dispassion, for one to become adequately dispassionate, okay, to discover the dispassion, it takes time for one. One has to live one's life properly. Like a fruit, how the fruit becomes ripe by itself. The raw fruit, it's a small, tiny one, it grows big and big and big, so it becomes so big, huge, it has grown, it got full-fledged growth, it has attained, the fruit is so big, but still it is raw. Understand what? It does not become ripe. And it takes its own time for the fruit to become ripe. Understand? When berry fruit becomes ripe, it falls from the plant also. Isn't it? Similarly, the human mind also becomes dispassionate in terms of its color. That's why it is not wrong, so it will take care of. So this has to be, the lifestyle one lives will take care of that dispassion, that maturity. So what is the lifestyle one has to live? To discover the dispassion naturally and to become mature and to be adequately mature, to entertain, to have the contemplative disposition of the mind. One has to live a life of karma yoga. Understand? Till then, that's what we say. Anyway, so here, the question Arjuna is asking is, if you are just superior to performing action, then why do you ask me to do the karma? That's what the question is here. So why I want to say here, it is when problems come in life, it is very natural for people to have the tendency to, okay, let me run away somewhere and, let me give up everything. It is very natural. Because without being adequately mature, see, without having discovered dispassion, you have to understand, one cannot be adequately mature. Without being adequately mature, one cannot have contemplative disposition of the mind or the meditative disposition of the mind. Even if you have been practicing meditation, all that doesn't matter how long you have been practicing meditation, but do you have the contemplative disposition of the mind? That is different. That's why Shastra's view of contemplation itself is different from what we are talking about, the meditation. Okay. Then, so moksha is where moksha has to be discovered. Knowledge. Knowledge is moksha. Knowledge of reality is moksha. Knowledge means not simply knowledge. It is ascertained, doubt-free, assimilated vision of the reality as the self, as one's own self, as the meaning of the word I. That is possible only if one can be contemplative. Contemplation will result in that, will take care of that ascertained, assimilated vision of the reality. To have the contemplative disposition, what should I do? People want to ask. A contemplative disposition will naturally, you will be blessed with the naturally contemplative disposition of the mind. You know what is to contemplate on, and you will have the contemplative disposition of the mind, and you will be in contemplation naturally. You don't need to do contemplation. You will be in contemplation. Your contemplation will be taken care of. What should you have done for that? To be in contemplation, you have to have what? You have to understand now. You have to have that disposition. To have that disposition, what you should do, you don't need to do anything, you have to be naturally mature. To be naturally mature, you must have discovered dispassion naturally. So discovering dispassion naturally thereby to be naturally mature. Understand now? One has to live one's life properly. Living one's life properly means what? That is why without having lived one's life properly, it doesn't matter. See, life becomes lived properly, the life being lived properly is not based on what one has accomplished, what one has not accomplished. No. How one has lived one's life. You might have been a person of total failure in your life. Still you have lived your life properly if you have lived a life of dharma. Understand? You might have accomplished so many things in your life. You may be a person of considerable accomplishments. Life is a meaningful life. Life is something which has been lived properly if you have lived a life of dharma. Understand now? Therefore, one has to live one's life properly, which implies one has to live one's life completely. How? One has to live one's life completely following karma yoga. For which, understand now, living one's life completely, properly means one living one's life of karma yoga, which will help one naturally discover dispassion in due course of time, will prepare one's mind, and so now will help one discover maturity, thereby will help one have mental contemplative disposition, will help one discover the reality. Therefore, this living a life of karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha because it prepares the mind for jnanam. So if without making efforts to live one's life properly or to prepare one's mind, if one wants to go away somewhere, okay, taking to life sannyasa is much easier, That's a big responsibility. This grihasthashrama life, this household life is a big responsibility, my God. Getting married and having a wife and then a husband and children and responsibility, educating them, looking after them, and lots of big job, isn't it? Big responsibility. Maintaining the house and bills and stuff and lots of stuff, isn't it? So when things really very tight and things, we'll always feel, better. It's high time now, let me go for sannyasa. No, let me give everything. I'm going to pursue only knowledge. Meditation, I'm going to attend meditation classes. Wherever meditation classes are available, I'm going to attend meditation. Why? Meditation will help me discover the truth. So for what? When I discover truth, I'll be free. I'll be peaceful. I want to be peaceful and relaxed, calm and quiet and enjoy. So what? I won't have any problems in life. So what? Give up everything, go for meditation classes. This is natural for one to think this way. The same thing Arjuna also thinks. He's asking, hey Krishna, knowledge alone will free one from bondage. Karma will definitely bind a person. Therefore, knowledge is superior to karma. You have made very clear. Then why do you ask me to do karma at all? And Krishna has to tell now, come on, knowledge alone will free you from bondage. Because knowledge is freedom from bondage. Isn't it? But that knowledge requires what? Contemplation. Contemplation needs what? Contemplative disposition of the mind. Mind has to be ready for that. That mind is possible only if there is maturity. Maturity means what? The mind is attention of which has been totally taken away from everything. It's available here for focusing on the nature of the reality. Which means that completely, highly, adequately dispassionate mind. It's a mature mind. And how can one become a dispassionate and mature? one has to discover maturity. Not by, Swamiji tell you to become dispassionate, so let me try to become dispassionate. If I tell you to become dispassionate, Swamiji will ask me, come on, pack up everything, come back to Coimbatore, don't say anymore. You're teaching wrong, do it. I didn't ask you to do wrong teachings. You know that? It's like asking the fruit to become ripe, come on, you're still too raw, become ripe soon tomorrow. It's impossible. It's like asking the child to, you know, eat now one bag full of, cereals and then tomorrow should go for, we're only 5 years old, tomorrow should go for this football match and go and play in the football match. Means what? It's stupid, isn't it, asking like that, expecting like that. We expect the child to grow slowly. You have to wait, 15 years has to complete. You know, at least 12, 13 years should be complete to enter the, ground, to be acknowledged by a coach. Isn't it? It's all time. That is why here also, come on, moksha is the end, knowledge is the only means. Knowledge is moksha that needs contemplative disposition for that maturity is required. Mind has to naturally discover dispassion for which one has to live one's life properly. So living one's life properly implies, I told you already, living one's life properly. The properly lived life is not considered. Based on one's accomplishments and success, achievements in life, but based on how one has lived one's life in conformity with dharma. Therefore, one has to live one's life completely, properly, in conformity with dharma as yoga, then that will help one discover dispassion. That will help one, what will prepare the mind for knowledge. That's why Arjuna, come on, karma is inferior in terms of moksha, but does not mean you can give up karma for good and go and pursue only knowledge. No knowledge. Knowledge here means ascertained, doubt-free, assimilated vision of the reality as the self. That knowledge is not possible if your mind is not ready for that knowledge. Aspiration may be there, desire may be there, wish may be there, commitment may be there, but if you still are not ready, means what? Not ready means you can't get it. But you are eligible to get it, so you can definitely get it. Nobody can stop you from gaining it, but you have to become qualified for that, eligible for that. So make all efforts to become qualified and eligible for that. Understand? That is why one, you do your karma. Understand now? Do your karma will not liberate, but without doing your duties, without having performed karma, there's no way of preparing one's mind for knowledge. There's no way. Therefore, you have to do your karma. So this Krishna has to teach Arjuna now. Okay, so he's going to start now. Now even before that, Arjuna has one more question, one more verse. Vyamishreneva vakyena, Vyamishreneva vakyena, buddhim mohaya siva me, buddhim mohaya siva me, tadekam vada nischitya, tadekam vada nischitya, yena shreyoham apnuyam,
yena shreyoham
apnuyam, Vyamishreneva vakyena, Vyamishreneva vakyena, buddhim mohaya siva me,
buddhim mohaya siva me,
tadekam vada nischitya,
tadekam ekam vadanischitya yena shreyoham apnuyam
yena shreyoham apnuyam.
So first he asked, if knowledge is superior to action, why do you ask me to act now, Krishna? That's the first question. And second question, but still he knows what Krishna says is right. Krishna asks me to do karma. I have to do karma. But still it's confusing because he said, knowledge is superior to karma. Knowledge alone will free me from bondage, not karma. So he asked the question, why do you ask me to do karma? Then he says, Krishna, you said two sentences. What is that? Knowledge alone will free you from bondage. First sentence. Come on, Arjuna, get up and go and do your duty. Two sentences. Look at this. What is the first sentence? Knowledge alone will free you from bondage. What second sentence? Arjuna, come on. Therefore, Arjuna, get up and go and do your duty. Do your work. This is contradictory. Knowledge alone will free you from bondage, Arjuna. Therefore, come on, get up and go and know the self. He said that, it's not contradictory. Knowledge alone will free you from bondage, go and do your duty means, so sentences are what? No. Two statements you say are contradictory. Contradicting each other. So, Vyamishrena eva vakyena. Vyamishram means what? As though they sound contradictory. Isn't it? Vyamishrena eva vakyena me buddhim mohayasi eva. It sounds, Krishna, I think you confuse me. Look at this. Arjuna is asking, being taught by Krishna, Arjuna is saying, you seem to be confusing me, my mind. Okay? Me buddhim, I tell you, my mind is now confused. You mohayasi. You confuse my mind with your contradictory statements. Okay? Vyamishrena vakyena. Vyamishrena iva vakyena. Me buddhim mohayasi. You confuse me. You through contradictory statements confuse my mind, Krishna. Please don't tell me both. Knowledge alone will free you from bondage. Do your duty. Don't say both, okay? Ekam nischitya vada. Look at this. Please tell me one sentence of one of the two statements you say. Then ekam nischitya vada. Knowledge alone will free you from bondage. Go and pursue knowledge. Say it, be happy. Okay, go and do karma. Don't talk to me about the knowledge, okay? Then ekam nischitya vada. Please tell me only one thing. Yena. Please tell me one thing, Krishna. Your two statements, which seem to be contradictory, which seem to be confusing my mind. Me buddhim mohayasi. You confuse with your contradictory statements. So ekam, please tell me only one thing. Ekam nischitya vada. Definitely tell me only one thing. What is it? Yena aham shreyaha apniyam. By which I will attain shreyas. What is shreyas? We have already discussed in the second chapter. The absolute good. Shreyas means good. What is good? Good is a relative word. What is good for you not be good for me. What is good here in this country is not good in India. What is good that is not good here sometimes, it's seasonal, isn't it? So the time, what is good at one time may not be good at other time. What is good for some people are not good for other people. What is good in one place may not be good in other places. Therefore, good means a relative term. So here, absolute good, not relative good. What is good for some people, sometimes in some place, relative good. It's not bad, understand now. But absolute good means what is desirable, what is good for all the people, always, anywhere, everywhere. That is absolute good. That is knowledge. Understand? Knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the self is good for all the people. It does not do any anything bad for anybody, isn't it? After all the people, it is good. Always it is good. Anywhere it is good, everywhere it is good, because it will free you from, free one from bondage and fear. It will bless one with the perfect clarity, total clarity. So knowledge is the absolute good here. So knowledge is what? Moksha. So yena aham shreyaha apnayam. Please, Krishna, tad ekam nischityavada. Please tell me only one, that one thing by which I can attain moksha, which will help me, enable me attain moksha and knowledge. Moksha in the form of knowledge. You seem to be confusing me with the two seemingly contradictory statements. Understand now? Therefore, now Bhagavan says. So, Bhagavan's answer is exactly according to his questions. Prashna anurupam eva prativachanam. Prashna anurupam, in keeping with. Now, the question Krishna is answering now. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha.
Shri Bhagavanu Vacha.
Again teaching begins. I think you got question. Arjuna's questions are our questions now. Are they clear now? Why one should perform actions if knowledge is enough for us to be free from problems? First question. Okay, that's the main question here. So what is that one thing which alone will help us discover freedom? Okay? Krishna is answering now. So he starts from the scratch. He doesn't immediately jump and answer, come on, listen to me. No, he starts from the scratch. See, Arjuna asks one question, look at where Krishna starts the answer now. He's going to start from the beginning. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha.
Shri Bhagavanu Vacha.
Lokesvin Dvividha Nishtha.
Lokesvin Dvividha Nishtha.
Pura Prokta Mayanagha.
Pura Prokta Mayanagha.
Jnana yogena sankhyanam.
Jnana yogena sankhyanam.
Karma yogena yoginam.
Karma yogena yoginam.
Loke svin dvividha nishtha.
Loke svin dvividha nishtha.
Pura prokta mayanagha.
Pura prokta mayanagha.
Jnana yogena sankhyanam.
Jnana yogena sankhyanam.
Karma yogena yoginam.
Karma yogena yoginam.
So Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan tells here, what does he say? He says, two lifestyles asmin loke, in this world, dvi vidha nishtha. Nishtha here means lifestyle here. Okay? Nishtha means a committed lifestyle. Nishtha means a committed, what you have committed to is a nishtha. So, committed lifestyle. So, dvi vidha means what? Two committed lifestyles. Now, pura prokta, they've been prescribed. Two committed lifestyles have been prescribed. Maya, by me. He anagha. Agha, agha means sin. No, papa. But anagha means, oh, the sinless one. Just exactly opposite of what? O sinner, no. O sinless one. Anagha. Because every individual, the person is always sinless. The personality has what? The doership and enjoyership. The punya papa is centered on where? The personality. Isn't it? The eye sense is removed from the personality. Who wants of these things? Isn't it? So when we address the person, you know, basically as a person, as a reality, because consciousness free from punya papa, isn't it? So we say here, so he anagha means basically every person is free from punya papa only. Say he anagha, oh the one free from punya papas. Basically, you are free from punya papa. Only thing is, you do not know the fact how you are free from punya papa. You have punyam and papam as long as you do not know that you are free from punya papa. Look at this. You are already free from punya papa. If you do not know that you are free from punya papa, then you have punya papa. If you know you are free from punya papa, you are free from punya papa. Look at this. Amazing, isn't it? That is what this, he says, Krishna says, come on, you do not know, I know. So I call you as what? Anagha. You do not know your anagha. Therefore you are, you seem to be having agha. Okay, no. But I know you are free from punya papa. So he says, hey anagha, O sinless. So anagha, pura prokta. This is, we have to figure it to expression. Pura means what? From time immemorial, the timeless. Our scriptures are, this Veda is a timeless scripture, Shastra. And I had to talk to give a big talk on timelessness of Vedas. Okay? How Vedas are perennially eternal. So I had to make it very clear, I had to give a separate talk on perennial eternity of Vedas. Then, that's a big thing, very beautiful thing. It can be very clearly arrived at. How you can arrive at any equation, any mathematical equation very clearly, following the steps, you can arrive at this fact also. It's not difficult. It's a different topic. Okay? So that is why it has been said, means we always say, so the Lord speaks. Lord speaks means what? For us. No, the knowledge, this knowledge has been there timelessly. Any knowledge is there timelessly. Any knowledge is already there. No knowledge is created. Knowledge is always there. Already there, always there. Therefore here, what is this? He says here, the scripture, he says this, pura prokta. It has been said before by me, hey anaga. What has been said? Two committed lifestyles have been prescribed by me. Two lifestyles have been already prescribed. What are the two lifestyles here? Jnana yogaha and karma yogaha. Life of, okay, jnana yogaha is a life of sannyasa. Life of renunciation. And then karma yoga means life of, living a life of karma yoga. Living a life of sannyasaha, living a life of karma yoga. So jnana yoga is one lifestyle and karma yoga is another lifestyle. Two lifestyles. That means what? Not that for one, one can take the life of karma yoga, one can take the life of jnana yoga. No. The two lifestyles have been prescribed. And one has to precede the other. What is that? Jnana yoga lifestyle has to be preceded by the life of karma yoga. Everyone, whoever lives a life of jnana yoga, must have gone through a life of karma yogaha. So karma yogaha, life of karma, living a life of karma yogaha is a preparatory, prepares one for living a life of jnana yogaha. Therefore we cannot say life of karma yoga is superior, inferior, life of jnana yoga is superior. No. How can you say what is superior, what is inferior here? Isn't it? So living a life of sannyasa, jnana yoga means what? Living a life of jnana yoga means living a life of, you know, contemplation. Living a life of contemplation means what? Sannyasa. Sannyasa. So what do you mean by living a life of sannyasa? Here again we have to understand. See, there is something called vividisha sannyasaha. Say no? Vividisha sannyasaha. Vividisha sannyasaha means a person who takes to a life of sannyasaha. That means what? One who is committed to the totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. The one who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, to the exclusion of everything else, no, is said to be, no, there who takes the life of sannyasa. Who is sannyasi? Not the one who is wearing saffron robes, not the one who is wearing a danda, not the one who is having all religious forms on him. Whoever, anybody, okay, whoever's mind is aspires for knowledge and totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Understand? Thereby one who lives a life of contemplation is who? A sannyasi. Renunciate. Not the bachelor, not the spinster. Understand? Whoever lives a life of, whoever is committed to this pursuit of knowledge, totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, is said to be a sannyasi. And such a person, please understand, he is called a vividisha sannyasi. Vividisha sannyasi means what? One who has not yet understood the reality, one who has not yet, one who has understood the reality, one who has not yet one has not yet gained the ascertained vision of the reality. There is one who wants to have the ascertained, ultimate vision of the reality, therefore one who wants to live a life of contemplation. It's a sannyasi. Vividisha sannyasi. One who wants to know, one who wants to have the ascertained vision of the reality is said to be Vividisha sannyasi. So Vividisha means the desire for ascertained vision. Vetum Icha Vividisha. Desire to know thoroughly, without any doubt. That's called Vividisha. So with the desire for ascertained vision, and one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge is called Vividisha Sannyasi. And he lives a life of contemplation. That means what? How does he live his life? Always he will be studying scriptures. His mind will be subject matter of the scriptures. And he will be studying, reading, and he will be sharing, he or she will be sharing the knowledge what she has or he has with other people. Thereby help others also be with Shastra. So reading, studying, teaching, always the mind be contemplative mind. We have sannyasi. It's a lifestyle. Such a person, even the person does not, this sannyasi does not have any social obligatory duties. That in India it's allowed. Because life, the culture allows that. The person will be genuinely committed to the pursuit of knowledge. The person does not have any social obligatory duties. He is free from obligatory duties now. He must be adequately mature person. Now I told you about adequate maturity. No? The one who has discovered dispassion and one who is adequately mature. By having lived a life of karma yoga before, one who's mentally also quite relatively peaceful, pure-minded, relatively peaceful and pure-minded, steady-minded, dispassionate-minded, and this person who entertains a contemplative disposition, so lives a life of sannyasa. Free from obligatory duties. So this person, even society has the responsibility of looking after the person. This person can go to the families and ask for alms, live on alms also. People will respect that commitment to the knowledge. Therefore, they also think that it's looking after the person is a punyam. So this person can, this person's basic needs, food, shelter and clothing, basic needs. This person cannot ask for extra anything more than this. Food, shelter and clothing. Society will take care. This person's basic needs will be taken care of by the society. Understand? This is a sannyasi. This is called jnana yoga. This is called jnana yoga lifestyle. The one who lives a life of jnana yoga is a sannyasi. Jnana yogi. Vividisha sannyasi. And, no? Doesn't need to worry about these problems of life and all that. But to be a Vidisha sannyasi, to be adequately mature, to have discovered dispassion, to be relatively pure and steady, to have the contemplative disposition, to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, no, one must have gone through a life of karma yoga. Understand? Therefore, what? Karma yoga is a preparatory lifestyle for living a life of jnana yoga. Now, what is living a life of karma yoga? I have already told you in second chapter, but still I can talk to you. We know that yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Isn't it? So, discretion in action is yoga. One has to know one's duties, one has to know one's responsibilities, and one has to do all one's actions. Every individual life is nothing but full of actions and experiences. Isn't it? So when one performs actions, one has to play, every individual has to play different roles, not one role. And in playing every role, one has to do only actions. So in playing all one's roles, in doing, executing all one's actions, one has to try do one's actions attentively, wholeheartedly. And thereby one has to see one whether one's actions are in conformity with dharma or not. That means all one's actions really go by one's knowledge of right and wrong. No action goes by one's likes and dislikes. It means what? One really has discretion in action, which is yoga. And one does it also and is very clear, I'm doing this action. I have no choice about doing the actions. I have no choice about doing my duties. I have to just do what I have to do. Kartavyam. I have to just do what I have to do. Why? To live this life. Why am I living this life? Ultimately to discover moksha. The reality. The Lord. Therefore, one is very clear about the ultimate end being moksha and knowledge. Discovering the reality is the ultimate goal. Then the whole, the purpose of living this life is different, isn't it? Not just the artha kamas. He has purushartha nischaya. Therefore, all his actions become offered to Bhagavan. So he performs everything with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Therefore, Isharpana Buddhya Karanam. Doing all one's actions and attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, no, is what? Yoga. Then even when he performs any actions and he knows whatever comes in life, the situations, the present actions are not directly responsible for the present situations. Even though they seem to be the direct result of the present actions. The present, whatever one goes through in life, you know, are all prasada. Therefore, whatever comes in life, there is, he can take it with sameness of mind. Samattvam yogaha. Karmasu kaushalam yogaha. Then what? No, this is samattvam yogaha. We saw that Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. Samatvam is yoga. Now remaining the same, being equanimous in all situations, without being elated, without being dejected and depressed, remaining the same towards all situations is yoga. And it is very difficult. And it is possible for one to have the sameness of buddhi, for one to remain the same in all situations, if one can relate to the situations as prasada. Prasadam of the Lord, gift from the Lord. Or one can relate to situations as prasada if one understands the fact about these results, the situation that everyone goes through in one's life are not actually, one has no choice over the situations. They are predetermined by the natural laws, which are the Lord, which are also the Lord. There are innumerably countless laws, natural laws, which are pervading the whole universe. And the laws alone determine the results of actions. Laws alone determine all situations for us, in keeping with one's parabdha. Therefore, who are the laws? Natural laws are Bhagavan. If the natural laws alone determine the fruits of actions, natural laws are Bhagavan. So this law ordained fruits are Lord ordained fruits, situations. Lord ordained, if I know that, then I can accept them. I have to accept them as what? Prasada. If then one can see them as prasada, I can accept them with sameness of mind. It's also what? Prasada buddhihi. Entertaining prasada buddhihi, the attitude of accepting everything which comes in life with the sameness of mind, without elation or depression, dejection, with an attitude of looking at it as prasada, gift from Bhagavan, because it's ordained by natural laws. I am not the author of the fruits of actions. And who is the author of the fruits of actions? Natural laws. Who are the laws? Ishvara, Bhagavan. They are part of the whole. Everything is Ishvara. So, laws are also Ishvara. So, what? Law ordained are all Lord ordained. So, what? They are all prasadam, gift. So, what? I can accept, look at them as prasada. I can accept them with sameness of mind. We saw karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Never do you have any say over the fruits of actions. You have no choice over the fruits of actions. You can expect the results. You can't do anything without expecting the results. You have to do the karma. The very, very push, drive to do karma is because you expect the results. Isn't it? You can expect the results. You have to perform these actions expecting the results. But you have no choice over the fruits of actions, because they are determined by the natural laws. You have choice over actions. Before doing, you can choose to do the right action, avoid the wrong. You can be very prudent, very intelligent. You can be discreet. Okay? You can have discretion in action, which is yoga. You have choice over actions because you have willpower. You can use your buddhi shakti. That is why you are a karma yogi. If you don't use your buddhi, Bhagavan has blessed the knowledge of values you are already blessed with, and the willpower you are already blessed, the faculty of choice you are already blessed with. If you don't use, then you are a kripana. You are a miser. Those who don't spend money are misers. Those who don't spend buddhi, Bhagavan has blessed one with. You're already blessed with knowledge of values. You're already blessed with the faculty of choice, the willpower to choose to do a given action. If you use it, then you can choose to the right, avoid the wrong, refrain from the wrong. Then what? You have discretion in action. So you have choice over actions. But once you finish doing it, you do not have choice or fruits of actions. Why? Because they are determined by natural laws, which are Ishvara. Therefore, what? Whatever comes in life are all ordained by the Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, whatever comes is prasadaha. If this is a fact, and all the fruits of action, success or failure, all the fraud or paths of opposites, the agama apayana, we have said on second chapter, agama apayana anityaha, they all come and go, they are impermanent, they are not permanent, they are determined by the laws, they are prasada, you can accept them with sameness of mind, with all, endure them with sameness of mind. Why? Because you are working for, you are living this life for something, to discover something which is permanent, which is already there. Eternal, isn't it? It's not time bound. Therefore, this prasada buddhihi what? Prasada buddhihi, isn't it? And therefore, I am not the author of the fruits of action. Ma karma phala hetu bohu. We already studied there. So don't ever, may you not be the author of fruits of actions. At the same time, akarmani sangaha ma astu, may not have be attached to inaction also. So don't think it will just remain quiet without doing any actions. Don't think of becoming, being lazy. Be active. So same Krishna says here, what is that? What is karma yoga? You know that? Living a life of karma yoga means having discretion. Action is yoga. One has to use one's willpower and knowledge of values to always to be alert, to have this, to be discreet, no, to choose to the right action, to refrain from the wrong. This is karma yoga. Karmasu kaushalam yogaha. Whatever you do the Ishwararpana buddhihi. Whatever you do, you are very clear. You are doing the karma to live the life. You are not doing the karma, understand now, for happiness. You are doing the karma to live the life. You are living the life for discovering moksha. Once it is very clear, you have purushartha nischaya, you, all your actions become offered to Bhagavan. You do it with the attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Once you finish doing it, whatever comes is prasadaha. Now you know how to look at your prasada buddhihi. This makes you live a life of karma yoga. And you're 100% you're committed to live a life of dharma. Therefore, living a life of karma yoga is not an easy joke. A karma yogi is as great as a sannyasi. A karma yogi is a sadhu as well. You know that? That is why to be able to live a life of karma yoga, to be, you know, to be mentally strong enough to be able to live a life of karma yoga, not to go against the values, transgress the values, one needs the strength, and for that strength one has to be prayerful and worshipful. That is why karma yogi is an ethical person, karma yogi is a high religious person, and karma yogi is a spiritual person. And I told you in the very beginning, that's why one who wants to know what the reality is, one who wants to know what the self is, because why? Because reality of the whole universe is available for recognition only as the self. What is the self? What do we mean by the self? The self in English language, reflexive pronoun, in Sanskrit language is called Atma. Why? Because self is that which pervades everything. Look at this. So Atma is equal to, Atma means all pervasive. Why self is known by the word Atma? Because self pervades everything. That means what? A reality of everything is the self of everything. Therefore it pervades everything. Therefore it's known by the word Atma. Therefore what is Atma now? What is the self then? The meaning, the content, the substance of the substantive I. The content of the word I is Atma, the self. The self. The meaning of the word I is self. Therefore what? The reality of the whole universe, which is all pervasive, which is available for recognition only as the content of the word I, meaning of the word I, no, not as an object, only as the knower. Thereby, one who wants to know what the Atma is, what the reality is called a Jignyasu Bhaktaha. So this Karma Yogi and a Sannyasi, Jnana Yogi. Karma Yogi or Jnana Yogi. The people who are given to both lifestyles are Jignyasu Bhaktas. Those who want to know. But both of them end is the same. Both people who are given, living both lifestyles, whether a person is living a life of sannyasa, karma, jnana yoga, or whether a person lives a life of karma yoga, For both of them, end is the same. Two different lifestyles, but the end is the same. For a karma yogi, what is the end? Moksha is the ultimate end. What is moksha? Just the knowledge of the reality itself is moksha. Therefore, knowledge of reality is the ultimate end. How one can know the reality as the self? Therefore, what? Self-knowledge is the ultimate end. What is the self of everything? Bhagavan, the Lord. Knowledge of the Lord is the ultimate end. You can say all these words. Knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the self, knowledge of the reality. You can say anything. That's the ultimate end. Therefore, what? For both of them, end is the same. Understand now? Lifestyles are different. Both are real devotees. That's why those who have, until and unless one discovers one's earnest, aspiration for knowledge, unless and until one becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, there is no spirituality. One does not become spiritual. Only when one has a desire for knowledge, one is said to be spiritual. So karma yogi is a spiritual person. One who lives a life of karma yoga is a spiritual person. Of course, one who lives a life of sannyasa also is spiritual. Why? For both of them, end is the same. What? Knowledge of the reality is the ultimate end. Now, to be able to be a sannyasi, one must have lived a life of karma yoga, isn't it? So, who is a karma yogi now? Karma yogi is a spiritual person, now you know. And this karma yogi is one who is committed to live a life of dharma, because unless one lives a life of dharma, now in all one's actions, now just living a life means what? Very difficult. You have to do all them actions. But how prudent you are, how alert you are, how careful you are in choosing to do the right action, to avoiding carefully the wrong actions, in refraining from one's wrong actions, very difficult. There's one whose life is completely governed by dharma. Dharmavan, neetiman, we say. Neetiman, purushaha, dharmavan. Dharma anushtata. No, it's a karma yogi. That means his commitment is dharma. So dharmam sharanam gacchami means what? One who is committed to live a life of dharma is the one who has surrendered his will to dharma. So having one's will surrendered to dharma is having one's will surrendered to the Lord. So having one's will surrendered to the Lord is called sharanagati, relative sharanagati. Whatever you do, what you do, how do you do? Dharma. I do everything. All our actions are impelled by desires. I tell you. Every action you do is impelled by your natural urges or by your desires which arise in the mind, over which none of us have any say. I do not have the thoughts which arise in my mind. My own thoughts, my own mind. And I had definitely no say over the thoughts which arise in others' minds also. We have to know this. We are helpless. Just the thoughts arise. But we can use our will, we can use our knowledge of values. Understand? So we can manage our thoughts. We can undo our thoughts. So karma yogi is the one who manages his thoughts intelligently by using his willpower and knowledge of values. By therefore, one who sharanagati, person of sharanagati, one has surrendered his will to dharma. So this is living a life of the one whose life is just completely governed by dharma. Therefore, he is highly ethical. A spiritual person is ethical. And as a spiritual person, and being committed to dharma as an ethical person, and to be strong enough to be able to live a dharma, he is highly prayerful and worshipful. He is also religious, because he knows what prayer does. prayer is a will-involved auto-suggestion. It is a karma. It never goes waste. Because as an action, no action ever goes waste. He knows the efficacy of prayer. So he has 100% faith in prayer and he is highly prayerful. Prayerful. And then he is worshipful because he is very, very thankful to Bhagavan. He is not a dumb person. He is highly sensitive and highly alert and sharp person. He is conscious of what all he is blessed with. So he is very thankful to Bhagavan. Understand now? Therefore, he is very thankful. Therefore, he is being thankful to the Lord and order, you know, for having blessed one with all that one needs. No, to live this life also is what? Being worshipful. He is prayerful and he is worshipful. Therefore, he is religious. A spiritual person, a karma yogi, as a spiritual person, he is religious and ethical. Okay? Because he has purushartha nischayaha. He is definite about the purpose of living this life. For him, artha kamas are very important in life. Artha kamas are the relative ends which one needs to have, needs to pursue, to live the life in conformity with dharma, ultimately for discovering moksha. Therefore, for him, artha kamas are not the ultimate ends. Moksha is the ultimate end. Moksha in the form of knowledge of the reality is the ultimate end. But to accomplish that end, already accomplished end, one has to be prepared for that knowledge. One has to be in conformity with dharma. One has to live this life. So therefore, what about artha kamas are relative ends. So there are, understand, relative ends. But how does he pursue these relative ends, artha and kama, to live this life in conformity with dharma? For knowledge, which is the ultimate. So for a karma yogi, artha kamas are only the relative ends, which are the means, which serve as means to live this life. Relative ends are the means. Understand? To live this life. To live this life for what? To discover, to know. What is that knowledge? Just moksha. Understand now? Therefore, he does not. Artha kamas are also important. If one is not a karma yogi, what will happen? Who is not a karma yogi? One who does not have purushartha nischaya. Please understand here. One who does not have purushartha nischaya. The ultimate end being moksha is not very clear. That moksha is in the form of knowledge is not very clear. Then definitely artha kamas will be the ultimate ends. Understand now? If moksha be ultimate end is not very clear, definitely artha kamas will be the ultimate ends. If artha kamas become the ultimate ends, it is impossible for one to know the value of dharma. One knows dharma, but one may not know the value of dharma. Therefore, it is difficult for one to be ethical. Also, always to be ethical. Okay, and one may be religious and may not be religious. Definitely not spiritual. Understand now? So, the one who is karma yogi, definitely only two lifestyles. If a person who has purushartha nischaya, if he is spiritual, understand, purushartha nischaya, he is spiritual. He is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Only then one can live a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Very important. Purushartha nischaya is very important. He is definite about his end being moksha. In the form of knowledge. He is committed to the pursuit of that knowledge. But he is not yet ready for knowledge. So what does he do? He has to prepare his mind for that knowledge. Has to discover this passion. Has to have this contemplative disposition. Has to become mentally pure and steady. For which, what is the only way? Living a life of karma yoga. Understand? So living a life of karma yoga means one being spiritual. That being spiritual means one is definitely religious and ethical as well. There's no way of being spiritual without being ethical and religious. Spiritual means a spiritual person is definitely ethical and religious. But the one who's does not have Purusharth Nischayaha, one cannot live life karma yoga. May be religious, may not be religious. Okay, non-spiritual person may be religious, may not be religious. A religious, may be religious, may not, definitely not spiritual. Simply, simple devotee going to temples and praying and all that. You know, Purusharth Nischaya means what? He's not spiritual. He's religious. That's good. Not bad. But I'm not saying, okay, it's not spiritual. You can understand what it is. And religious, the person may be religious because he's going to temples and churches and prays and all that. But may not be ethical, may be ethical. There are people who are highly ethical but may not be religious also. They don't believe in God and stuff. And because believe means they have their own concept of God. They don't believe, they have this some concept of God. They were that God they don't believe in. Therefore, they may be religious, may not be religious. So they may not have any, they may not understand the significance of worship, efficacy of prayer. All will be shaky. They do not know. It's all a question of not. Lack of understanding. So, but they will be still as a good human being, very highly ethical. So the people may be ethical, may not be religious. Maybe religious, may not be ethical. But this, definitely not spiritual. But the spiritual is religious and ethical. And he is a karma yogi. Okay? So living a life of karma yoga definitely will bless one with pure mind, pure and steady mind, will help one discover dispassion, will help one make one adequately mature. Understand now? Definitely will prepare one for living a life of jnana yoga. Understand? Therefore you can't say there's no choice. You want to live karma yoga or this? No. Everyone has to go through this, then to go to the next. One is for the prepared, one is preparatory. One is preparing for the other. Is it clear now? Now you can skip one, go to jump one to the other. No. Two lifestyles. Understand? And what about sannyasi? His end is, this way they both are equally great. He must have gone through karma yoga and become sannyasi. But one who is living a karma yoga is not, you know, not inferior to a sannyasi. He is going to become a sannyasi. But karma yogi has all social obligatory duties. Understand? These are two lifestyles. Am I very clear now? Not? Mm-hmm. So, jnana yogena sankhyanam. Sankhya means sannyasi. For sannyasis, for sankhyas, for the sankhya, those who are mature, those who are adequately dispassionate, adequately mature, those who are dispassionate minded, those who, understand now? Such people who would have lived, who would have prepared themselves by living life karma yoga, for such people are called sankhyas. For them, life of jnana yoga is been prescribed. For others who have yet to become, who have yet to be prepared for living life of jnana yoga, life of karma yoga is prescribed. Here you are 5-year-old, go to kindergarten. No, I am 15, but I haven't gone to school at all. Still, you had to come there from there. Just because you're 15, you can't be given admission in high school. Never went to school. Listen, no excuse here. No, I had private tuitions and all those things. You had to write exams and prove yourself. So nobody's. So do we say the 5-year-old child when he goes to school? Do we say the 5? Only in the kindergarten? Do you feel inferior of the child? We know, oh my God, highly intelligent, naughty child. He's going to become a very big person in the future. Now he's sitting in kindergarten. We don't look down upon the child. We know the child is going to accomplish so many things in the future. So those who are in, you know, all, those registered for postdoctoral fellowships in the universities, do you say, oh, they're all, oh, they all must have started from kindergarten. Understand? Nobody is to consider superior, nobody considers inferior. Understand now? Of course, accomplishments are always acknowledged. But so karma yogi is not inferior, jnana yogi is not superior, both are equally great. I mean, both lifestyles are important, I'm saying. Understand now? Because both the people who are given to both lifestyles had a common goal. What is the common goal? Jnana, moksha in the form of knowledge. Both are working for knowledge only, but following different lifestyles. Understand? So, hey Arjuna, dvividha nishtha maya prokta pura, hey anagha, the sinless one who is free from all sins. Two committed lifestyles have been prescribed by me. Long ago. And life of Jnana Yoga, which is life of sannyasa, is for the sannyasis. Okay, those who entertain contemplative disposition. And for others, there's a way to discover dispassion, maturity. And for them, life of karma yoga. For karma yogis. Is it clear now? So, what are you ready for now? Don't think doing a karma is bad, okay? There is no way of preparing yourself for jnanam without doing karma. Understand now? Without being prepared for knowledge, knowledge is not possible. To be prepared for knowledge, you have to live a life of dharma. Live a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga means what? Doing a duties, performing actions. Don't think of escaping. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya.